Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And joining us now, political analyst, also author of Trump in the Resurrection of America, John Michael Chambers. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
You know, it's actually funny. Originally, we were going to talk about George Conway and Kellyanne and some of the different tweeting that went back and forth. And that's so irrelevant right now. So many other things have happened since then. You had the Mueller report come out. You had the attorney general give a summary. You had Michael Avenatti getting arrested and get multiple felony charges. You may be going to jail for 50 years for some of these things. I mean, you got the Jesse Smollett, his lawyer, co-conspirator, and now it looks like they're dropping the charges in Chicago. What in the world's going on? It hasn't even been a week, and there's a million things going on that somehow all seem intertwined with Donald Trump.
Yeah, we are absolutely living in the post-Mueller document age. I mean, if you think about it, this was really the biggest political scandal in U.S. history. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, the conclusion is no collusion and no interference. So, I mean, it's crazy what's happening.
And we've seen for 2 years the networks banging that drum. And it got to the point where they were bringing on guests that said he was a traitor, that said he was treasonous, that said he was a Russian spy. And then the report comes out, and we find out that none of those things could actually be proven or are true. And what we don't see is a lot of those same commentators going out and saying, well, we got it wrong. We were listening to wrong intel. We were listening to the wrong people. No one wants to give any credence to this report from the left after they found out that the thing that they've been holding up all of these years was the thing that would prove them wrong. And I don't know how we're going to move forward from this, because it seems like truth doesn't even matter anymore. It's just, how can you spin whatever you can get in your hands in order to get your point across?
No question about it. It's from a PR standpoint with regards to the media, you know, it's a catastrophic nightmare. But you know what? If you think about the author's The Art of War, Sun Tzu, when he says, when your enemy is destroying themselves on their own, just leave them be. That's sort of what's happened now. The media, I mean, they have no credibility at this stage. And ultimately, that's not good. But in this battle, it's a big win, because now people start to wake up and look at alternative places for information.
Mm-hmm. You know, when people start looking for those other places, that could also be dangerous too, depending on where you look. There's not really, it's a double-edged sword, I guess. Sometimes you could be getting the bad information from a reliable source because they use so much editorial bias in the things they put out there. But on the other hand, you know, you can get stuck on Facebook where you see something that's meant to be satirical, but they take it as truth and, you know, they run with it or whatever. It's so hard to even find true information anymore.
It is. It's very difficult, but we've got to embark upon this pathway because, you know, the majority of the media first off, it's owned by six major corporations, and generally speaking, they don't have our best interest in mind. So, you know, we're spoon-fed continuously one side of the story, mm-hmm. And in this case, a fake story, and it becomes a big problem. But you know, there are alternative places, but your point is well taken in terms of stumbling upon, you know, more fake news, perhaps. But this is where I think looking at some intel sources is important. First off, follow what the president's saying. Mm-hmm. Second, there are intel officers out there online, ex-CIA, that are, one's got a published book, Kevin Shipp, and they're providing a lot of great information for us that's, from my perspective, more valuable than watching the evening news. But it's a difficult time to detect truth from lies. This is the age of fake news, and but people are starting to see. I mean, this just absolutely blew up in their face, mm-hmm. and Fox News and other right slanted voices are really really going on the offense now, and so is President Trump. I mean, he used words like illegal takedown.
Mm-hmm.
In the tweet, he used the words treason and coup against the sitting president.
Mm-hmm.
We've got evil actions, bad people. The president isn't going to go on the record with such type of words unless he has a plan and intends to go on the offense. And this is the pendulum shifting moment. This moves us now into a whole new world. It's really, the battle's just beginning.
You know, let's say you're Donald Trump. Are you feeling pretty good right now, or are you still feeling like there's still a lot more that's going to be pushed on you?
Well, it's got to be a huge, huge relief, although he knew it. He was innocent of these things, but you never know how the system would work on you. So he's got to be extremely relieved and more than anxious to get moving, because this really, even though he's accomplished so much as a sitting president in a short period of time, think of what he could have accomplished beyond this had this cloud not been hanging over his head. So I believe he's going to set the precedent now utilizing the justice system, and I believe the hammer of justice is going to come down pretty hard on a whole lot of people.
Political analyst John Michael Chambers joining us here on KMOX. Yesterday morning, maybe Rudy Giuliani was on Fox News, and they were asking him questions about, are we going to find out who is selling this bad bill of goods or whatever to the FBI in order to get them to get this ball rolling? We have the FISA applications. There's still some questions about who may have been lying to who in order to get all of this in this two-year investigation that leads to nothing. So do you think that's going to be the next step? Do you think that we're going to have to find out who was really perpetrating this? Well, I guess we can call it a hoax with some of these allegations in order to call out and perhaps maybe look criminally who is lying to these government agencies?
Without question. Yeah. This is where it's all leading to. And the American people are very curious, very curious. And this is what's going to happen. I think Lindsey Graham is the chairman of what's going to be an investigative committee. And I'm certain one of the very first individuals he's going to be asking questions of is James Comey.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well start there. But, you know, look, the truth of the matter is there's a lot of people, the lower ranks at the highest of ranks, like lock her up ranks. And it's gonna leak all the way on up to the top. This will go on for a couple of 3 years, in my opinion.
We'll continue our conversation with political analyst John Michael Chambers, author of Trump and the Resurrection of America, next on Overnight America KMOX.
St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1120 KMOX. Depend on it.
Hard to keep up with everything going on in the news anymore. It seems to be changing on a minute-by-minute basis. Joining us is political analyst John Michael Chambers. In his book, you can check out Trump and the Resurrection of America. How about Lindsey Graham right now? It seems like the last year he's been on fire. I never thought I could listen to Lindsey Graham and love what he's saying every time he opens up his mouth, but I don't know what happened to him. He flipped a switch, and all of a sudden, I love everything he's doing. Maybe it's just because he seems very reasonable in his approach, the way he looks at some of these topics. And even people like Alan Dershowitz, who was continuously on CNN, he said he was kicked off, and he's not a Republican by any means, but you find that some of these reasonable voices out there, they don't want to be heard on the other side. And we also see that reasonable people, we're not finding the reasonable people anymore. We're only gravitating towards the ones that are very, you know, loud and perhaps want to use strong words such as, you know, treasonous when it comes to talking about Donald Trump and Russian spies and things like that. So maybe you think this could push us back towards the center. Maybe we'll start to listen to more reasonable people now that the ones that we listened to before were completely wrong.
I think ultimately, but it's going to be a bit tumultuous in route to that. And you mentioned two great individuals. This is just one man's opinion here, but I mean, Alan Dershowitz, you're absolutely right. I think his approach, though, is, you know, he's really just being, law-minded, Constitution and the law. He's not entering politics into this, and he's just calling it as he sees it. And that's why we're favoring him, because he sees the truth. As far as Lindsey Graham goes, I mean, I have a theory on Lindsey Graham. We're living in a very peculiar period of time. And I think that that flick of the switch that turned Lindsey Graham around perhaps was information that could compromise his reputation. that the president has, and Lindsey Graham has decided to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. Who knows? All I can tell you is from Kavanaugh through now, and I think moving forward from here on out, Lindsey Graham is a very valuable asset for us right now. Very valuable.
You're right about the Kavanaugh thing. There was a lot of really silly things that were brought up. And we saw almost the same tactic against the president when it came to some of these allegations, which had no evidence. And then we find that as long as if you say it, they'll demand, if CNN said it, there'll be an investigation over it, endless investigations. And Lindsey Graham was really someone that cut through all of that and just talked about how ridiculous all of this is getting. They called it Lindsey Graham 2.0. I like Lindsey Graham 2.0. Who are some of those other voices out there that you like?
You know, there isn't any one person, well, there's probably a couple, that are completely supportive of Trump that have the pulpit, if you will. But I think there are segments, like Rand Paul. Rand Paul is going to be very, very instrumental when President Trump proceeds further with the taking down of the central banking system and the Federal Reserve as we know it. And I think that Rand Paul is going to shine there, and he's already done some good work behind the scenes. I'm not happy with his lack of support in some other areas. So, you know, there's just a few out there. Now, in the media, you've got, you know, Mark Levin, who's got a lot of truth. Sean Hannity's been doing some good work, Tucker Carlson. But, you know, they can only go so far because they work for the big corporations. There's more information that perhaps people like you and I know about that I'm sure the commentators know, but they can't discuss it on the air. But we're watching it unfold. It's going to be an incredible period of time. The indictments, the hearings, the probes, the grand juries, the military tribunals, you name it, it's coming now. Trump is going to be unchained. And according to Steve Bannon, I read a little meme somewhere and headline of some sort, and Steve Bannon said Trump is going to go, quote, animal on them now.
Your book is Trump and the Resurrection of America. Talk a little bit about that book and what people can find in it.
Sure. You know, really the book addresses this incredible phenomenon that we're experiencing, which is recognizing we're in a post-constitutional government. And that we're trying to resurrect America. That's why I call it America's Second Revolution. And we have the most unlikely candidate from a couple of years back, who is actually our leader now and the leader of the world, really paving the way of a course correction of sorts. So the book identifies all the various battles that the president's facing and who the enemies of Trump and who the enemies of freedom are. And it's been fairly well received, and it can be picked up on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple, iTunes, or my website, which is johnmichaelchambers.com.
Yeah. John Michael Chambers, author of Trump and the Resurrection of America, also a political analyst. One other thing, too, and I'll just mention this. We look at how government can be manipulated. Somehow they'll find a way to argue their way to do something that would seem unconstitutional. And sometimes it even gets to the highest court in the case of Obamacare. And you think, how can you push this through? But then they'll try to phrase it as a tax in order to do it. And then someone else gets in power and they want to get rid of it. You have these ebbs and flows. What a powerful thing to talk about when it comes to some of the voices in Congress right now that want to take away some of your constitutional guarantees in life, things that are given by God. So if you think taking away more of your constitutional guarantees in life are going to lead to things not being abused, you're out of your tree. Those things are to protect you from the government. The more you take out and the more that you censor from the Constitution, the harder it's going to be for you to live a free life. You're just going to be under greater control from the government. More is going to be abused that way. So it's so important moving forward that you look at the people that want to try to protect the Constitution as opposed to the ones that don't. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. This particular period of time here, we have a very clear difference between the two parties, let's call it like that. I don't call Trump a party, but he is a Republican. So, you know, I mean, you've got, you know, Trump trying to resurrect America, you know, restore the constitutional republic and do all the things that we remember growing up in America, that type of country, capitalism. Yeah. And then we have the other side, socialist Democrats with infanticide and the new Green Deal, which is going to go nowhere. But we have a very, very contrasting views to look at. And I quite frankly think outside of rigging the poll, the election polls and the computers we vote on, outside of that subject, I think Trump's a complete landslide in 2020. I think people are moving over, especially over the next year and a half, when all of the declassification begins and the subpoenas and indictments are served on them rather than on Trump.
Yeah.
And you're going to see a lot of people voting for Trump.
Yeah, and they're going to release this report, obviously, the attorney general and them. They have to make sure it's released in the proper way. You just can't do that overnight. We don't exactly know how large the results are, but some say it could even be over 1,000 pages or whatever it may be when it comes to the Mueller report. But the way we're looking at how fast, and they just want to try to find different ways to spin it immediately, why won't you release it? Why won't you, you know, they're trying to immediately spin it as a way of there's something that's to be hidden there. Just wait until we start finding out some of this other information about these FISA warrants, people that were given phony information, knowing they were given phony information to the FBI or putting them on these FISA warrants in order to put this whole investigation forward. Just wait till those documents are released. Now, that's going to be the biggest revelation of all of this, I think.
Yeah, the narrative will change immediately. I mean, in essence, it has, you know, at step one right now. But once, and then the Mueller report will be fully released, or released to the extent that it can and should be. And no matter what happens, they're going to continue to do anything they can to delegitimize and impeach or remove the president. But it's not working. It's not working legally, and it's not working in the public opinion anymore either, in my opinion. And the narrative will shift because all of a sudden, as I said, the subpoenas and indictments and the hearings that we'll be privy to, hopefully with that Lindsey Graham will be running, we're going to see what's really been going on, and it's going to shock this nation. And he's got to bring it out slowly, like you said. But I think we're ready. I think American people are ready, ready for the truth.
Political analyst John Michael Chambers, author of Trump and the Resurrection of America. Can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
Is there anyone that could beat Donald Trump in 2020, knowing that this report, after it comes out, he'll be able to tout this? You know, they had an endless amount of resources to look into me. All of it found that none of these things happened. He's going to go up against a big, big group of Democrats, and there's a lot of names thrown into the hat there. Is there anyone that could beat him at this point with the amount of ammunition he'll have going into reelection?
In my opinion, nobody can take Trump down in 2020. And if you think about it, he one by one eliminated all his contenders for the GOP nomination, and these were seasoned, you know, experienced, funded politicians, and he became president. If you look at the cast of characters that threw their hat in the ring right now on the Democrat side, it's laughable. Their record doesn't hold a candle to President Trump as a citizen or as a president. He's going to have a field day with them. You know, I use the expression, get the popcorn, because it's going to be a fantastic show.
Get the popcorn. Yes, it will. And I think that's why they were afraid to go into a cycle where they would have to compete with him directly. I can see why they would throw the kitchen sink in order to try to remove him before the 2020 election. And it ended up failing. So if they couldn't do that after all of this, I mean, after all the falsehoods that were thrown at him, man, I think if I were the Democrat Party right now, I'd be very scared of going up against them because, you know, if they thought they had a slam dunk in Hillary Clinton, I don't know what they got anymore. They got nothing left in the tank.
Yeah, they got creepy Uncle Joe and a bunch of characters, as I stated. But, you know, I have a feeling on the Democrat side that probably the people we see before us running now, there's probably going to be someone else entering in later who they're really going to put in as the front runner. I think we haven't heard the end of this yet.
Yeah.
But we'll wait and see. But I don't think anybody can beat him in 2020. The only area of danger, in my view, is collapsing the economy and the markets and escalating inflation and all the financial economic areas. If they manage to unwind the great accomplishments he has in this area, that can hurt because people often vote with their pocketbooks. And that's the big Trump card right now, is the economy. So this is the reason why the president, behind the scenes, if you will, has been setting the table, as he says, but, you know, laying the groundwork for really changing the entire global monetary system, the central banking system, restoring sound money to help with the financial reset, lowering the value of the currency to help offset the debt. There's going to be a great change coming. in the financial reset that hasn't hit the news really at all. But that's going to be, in my opinion, the next big story. And if you can keep the markets intact until the 2020 election, I don't see anything stopping Donald Trump.
Yeah. The book is Trump in the Resurrection of America. Check it out on Amazon. Author John Michael Chambers, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Thank you very much.
And he joins us here as we get ready for another great story. That great story being what I was like in high school. If you want to hear that, we'll do this next. That can be embarrassing. Overnight America, KMOX.
Hey, Blues fans, Joey Vitale here, and the Blues are heading to the concrete jungle to battle the New York Rangers in the first game of a back-to-back.
It's the Blues and Rangers Friday night.
The pregame show starts at 5:30, and the puck drops at 6, right here on your home for Blues hockey, KMOX.
Let's go, Blues!
Watching the NHL Network, and there was a chance that the Blues could clinch a playoff spot tonight if the Chicago Blackhawks beat the Phoenix Coyotes. Did they say Arizona? It's Phoenix Coyotes. I don't know why they had to make things difficult and change their branding. Whatever. Arizona Coyotes. Pfft. But it didn't happen. So the Blackhawks lost. Yeah, it's not the Michigan Red Wings. It's not the Missouri Blues, you know. Arizona Coyotes. Cut it out. So it didn't happen. So the Blues not clinching tonight, but they're on their way. They are on their way. You want to know what I was like in high school? So I was a weird high school kid. All my friends were primarily outside of the school. Like, I had friends at school, but I never hung out with my friends I was going to school with. Does that make sense? Like, I'd talk to people and I'd sit with certain people and you'd be friendly and do these things. All of my friends were outside of the high school I went to. I had a job working for the city I lived in the Parks and Rec department, and all my friends worked for that. It was basically, we hung out after school, we hung out after work. It's just, that's what we did. It was a large group of friends that way, and I just had more fun with that. With the exception being some of the people I went to grade school with, we stayed friends, and we, you know, sometimes bring the groups together, whatever it was. So when I was in high school, the car I drove, this is the car my parents got me. It was a 94 Ford Escort wagon. It was a station wagon, and it was Smurf blue. It was such an ugly car, had no power to it. You'd put your foot down on the accelerator, and the thing would go, and it sounded like a lawnmower. And the thing just would not get up and go. But man, it was my car, and it got me to places outside of the house and to hang out with my friends, and that was really great. One of those bands, I had the Motley Crue CD absolutely inside of that car. Of course, it was a cassette player. It was a 94, so I had to put my own aftermarket CD player in it. This is back when it was important for you to shop these things, when it wasn't a given that you'd have a CD player in a car. The kids today, anyone that's getting a car and they're under the age of, you know, 30, they don't understand what it's like to hop in a car and there's no CD player, and you had to get one of those little cassette adapters that you plugged in, and there's a little cord that came off the end that you'd plug it into your Walkman or CD, your portable CD player. And if you had one of those good portable CD players that had a really good anti-skip on it, didn't even have that. I always had the lowest end junk things you can get because, you know, that's just the way we rolled. But I would drive around in this Ford Escort wagon that was Smurf blue. And, oh my goodness, it didn't matter when I was playing a song like this. I would just go absolutely crazy. Oh, yeah, there it is. So imagine high school Ryan popping in this CD, a little Motley Crue. I thought I was the coolest guy in the world. I mean, it doesn't get any cooler than a 94 Ford Escort wagon, Smurf blue, cranking Motley Crue on the stock speakers that were probably like 10 watts at most. Yeah, see me in there headbanging. Da, 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 da. Everyone had the greatest hits of Motley Crue. I mean, it was a given for my generation. And you can just see me right now at a red light. I'm pumping my fist. Ugh. Yeah, and if someone catches you, you know, you're stopped at a red light and you look over and there's a girl in the other car, you know, you give them a little wink. Make sure they can hear this. And from their end, of course, these were garbage speakers. All they heard on their end was... It just sounded like blown out speakers on their end. You know, and I was really getting into it. And so this is what I find online now. Apparently, Motley Crue is in Rio. And they have some concerts where you can stream. I don't know if it's like a subscription deal where you can pay and watch them live. So they've gone... They are not the band I remember. Like, listen to them here. Okay, you ready to hear what Motley Crue sounds like now? This is kind of a... This is an edited version, so they kind of, like, cut... So it's not the full song. I'm sorry for anyone that remembers Motley Crue as being cool, but, ooh, man... You know what this sounds like when you don't know the words, but you just want to keep trying to sing anyway? This sounds like me when we were trying to do like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and I forgot some of the lyrics. And you just kind of, you mumble a few words. Oh, this is so bad. If you didn't know the words to this song, there is no way, no way you would understand anything they were saying. Imagine you're 18 and you have a job. They're asking you to transcribe this for closed captioning in real time. And they ask you, and you're like, I don't know what to do. Ooh, ready, girls? Ooh, ready now? Whoa, yeah. Does anyone understand what they just said? Kick that my heart in and you don't know. Oh, it was ruined. Instantly, my days of going back driving the Smurf blue Ford Escort wagon just completely shattered. I don't feel so cool anymore. I look back at that and say, wow, I really wasn't cool at all. Imagine you paid money for this. Oh, man. And it's probably an expensive ticket. It's Motley Crue or whatever it is. All right, producer Mike, guess what he just said there. You want to take any guesses? I don't understand any of it, and I've listened to this song a million times. Hold on, one more. All right, producer Mike, what did he say?
I can't even wager a guess.
I'm trying to think back. I'd have to look at the lyrics. I'm trying to remember what was that part.
Stage.
All right, so you hear it cutting ahead. I don't know any. I can't remember the lyrics of this song. You think I would remember, because I was the coolest kid in the world for pumping that Motley Crue CD early in the morning going to Catholic school. Summer hot, never stop, it is a little bit too hot. Keep summer hot, never stop. You know, they paid him. If you're a promoter of that, you're thinking, I can't believe we paid him for this. Boogie boy, round the house. Wow. 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 Yikes. Now, that was hard to listen to. That's if you're put on the spot and you have to sing a song and you don't know the words, that's what it sounds like. I still don't know. All right, hold on. Let's look up the lyrics. I got to know what he's saying. Let's see. Kickstart my heart lyrics. I got to know what he's saying right there. Okay, let's see. Oh, no, that's not it. What was that part again? Hold on. It goes. Nice. And here the stage. Let's see. When we started this band, all I need. This is what it sounds like to me. I can't find it on this song. If anyone knows what he's trying to say there, any Motley Crue fans, just text it to me. 314-436-7900. Oh, I found it. Okay, he's saying, it says, years gone by, I'd say, okay, when I'm enraged or hitting the stage, adrenaline rushing through my veins. Okay? When I'm enraged or hitting the stage, adrenaline rushing through my veins. I don't know how anyone could get that. Adrenaline rushing through my veins. Oh, man. I can't get over how bad. Oh, I just feel bad. Was he okay? Was he feeling all right? Did they have to go check on him? If you were to just watch the video without the audio, I mean, he's like animated. He's pumped up. He's putting on a good show. It's just he's not able to perform the lyrics. Oh, man. Wow. 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 Sounds like a dead cat. Wow. I can do that. How much do you think they paid him for that performance? That's probably a fine night for him. He's down in Rio. It's probably $1 million for him or something like that. Wow. So that was Motley Crue down in Rio. Yikes. It is such a difference from their golden days. I just could not believe it. And the sad thing is, that's how I'm sure other girls looked at me when I was in high school. I thought it was all that cool, but all they heard was, I mean, this is all they heard from me. Oh, another good time. My heart. Oh, my heart. Sounds like when I'm trying to do a fake hair band impersonation. This is Overnight America. Do I do it like Vince Neil? It's Vince Neil. That's his name, right? Overnight America.
Overnight America and Ryan Recker continues on KMOX.
I gotta say, I might have been the coolest kid in my high school, right? I would say that's true. Yeah, I just remember putting on some Motley Crue. I used to have this stereo system, and I would listen to this stuff in my room, and this would be so. Mom! Stay out of my room! Yelling at my parents. Ugh! You're out of bagel bites! How come you never get bagel bites anymore? Ugh, one day, I'm gonna get out of here, man. Hit the road, go see Motley Crue in Sacramento. That was me. Saving up for an IROC Z. Oh, man, those were the days. And, of course, I played those songs on my classic rock days. I would, of course, this was like a classic rock staple. And you would talk it up. Coming up next, Led Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix right now. Motley Crue! You know, that was, the classic rock days were just like that. I wouldn't really push my voice, though. I wasn't one of those guys that forced it. The way I talk now is how I would talk on the classic rock station. It was very me. I wouldn't play it up like I was, you know, different, or I wouldn't push the voice into the classic rock mode that you would pretend a classic rock type of personality would do. I wonder if Mark Close is going to be doing that here in the future. Talking up some Motley Crue on Casey. If you missed the interview with Mark Close last hour, go listen to it in the podcast, KMOX.com/overnight. I wonder if that's what he's going to be doing. I don't know. Did you see KMOV did a follow-up story to Slate? Oh, this was great. So back when Channel 4 did an investigation onto what was going on with Slate, the investigation that included your tax dollars and city aldermen and Bruce Franks, questionable time cards, questionable money. Was he logging this the right way? Was he even putting this on? There's so many questionable things going on at Slate. KMOV does this investigation. Bruce Franks has a meltdown, tries to play the fake news card on KMOV. Good luck. And eventually, there has been an update on that, and I'm glad they haven't dropped it. So here is the latest with KMOV.
As of right now, the FBI, federal auditors, and other agencies are still conducting investigations into that agency, all because of questions whistleblowers raised to News 4 back in January.
Well, good for them. I'm glad they're giving us an update on this because you don't want to give the impression this just all went away. Now, think of how long it took for the federal investigators to get on Steve Stenger. And boy, is he in some serious trouble. Because I read, too, today that the investigation is also people that work with Steve Stenger. So it goes beyond just him. It's not just one bad apple. It could be a completely bad organization that he put together there. So we find that sometimes it takes a little bit of time. We know that there was a grand jury involved with the Steve Stenger thing. We know that they agree that they should look into this sort of thing. They got some issues. So same thing with Slate. It takes a little bit of time, and they had the proper amount of time, and yes, it's still going on.
A whole slew of things. But they, you know, when their preliminary findings come out, we'll definitely be able to share those.
Tuesday, Alderman heard updates from Dr. Alice Print.
Like, you know what's funny? So they're talking from from Slate, and you see some of the agencies, Dr. Alice Prince, the head of Slate, talk about this as if she is the gatekeeper of this information, as if she has any say in if this federal investigation and the documents that are going to be made public, if she has any say if this is going to come out or not. When it comes out, we will definitely share that with the public. No, you're not sharing anything with the public. The public's going to be able to get it directly. You have nothing to do with it. You're a secondary component to this. So don't play it off like you're being so transparent. It's not the case.
It's the head of Slate, the St. Louis agency on training and employment. In January, whistleblowers questioned how money was being spent at the city agency. News 4 uncovered serious questions about employees' timesheets, including those for State Representative Bruce Franks, who worked for a subcontractor of Slate. He was working as a youth mentor, but according to Dr. Prince, was allowed to work off-site and at all hours.
Now, keep in mind, too, they didn't mention the other parts of that, which were, I think, was he hiding that income from bankruptcy, or was he hiding that income from also what he owed for child support through previous marriages or whatever it was? Was he hiding income? They didn't mention that part. I think that's an important question as well. Just because you live in an area where they're not going to prosecute you for having back child support, your obligation of a parent doesn't end. But, you know, for some people, I guess it does. So in the case of Bruce Franks, why didn't they mention if that was being hidden in the past? That's what I'm interested in, too.
News 4 analyzed his timesheets and found times when he appeared to be at city meetings or out of town. Dr. Prince on Tuesday continued to deny any timesheets were falsified.
No, we don't have any falsified timesheets. However, any of those types of allegations are still being investigated. Like, we still have ongoing audits and ongoing reviews that are coming.
In the meantime...
No, we don't have any falsified timesheets. You know, it's funny. What's going to be great is when they look back at this interview and the federal investigation comes back and realizes that she might not be truthful here as part of this interview. Oh, that's not going to age well. I'm telling you right now. Even though my crystal ball only works like 20% of the time, 40% of the time maybe, I'm gonna wager that those comments are gonna come back to bite her.
Time Steve Conway, the mayor's chief of staff, told us changes have been made.
There are no employees allowed to mentor outside of the premises.
The youth mentoring program, which had been suspended after our initial story, now is allowed to continue, but only at Slate's headquarters.
I think it's better reflective of the business world we live in is to have the mentors, even though it might not be able to reach out to the kids when they need to be reached out to be actually on site during those hours.
Yeah, congratulations, Bruce Franks. You screwed up a system that actually was helping some children because you were doing some really fishy things. So congratulations. They didn't really mention the double dipping of the salaries, too, how there was some overlap on that. I wonder if the feds are going to do anything with that as well.
Alderman did not grill Dr. Prince. Alderman Joe Vaccaro says they want to see what the feds have to say.
We have a long way to go on this, and I'm anxious to get all the other reports.
Alderman Vaccaro has requested that Dr. Prince be suspended during these investigations, but the executive director still has the full backing of the mayor's office.
Okay, there it is. You find that over at KMOV, changes in policy have been made. It's probably not a bad idea. I mean, if you have to go into the actual building itself so you can be held accountable for the time that you're putting in to a job that is paid with your tax dollar money, it's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean that the actual people you're mentoring necessarily have to be sitting across from a table. I mean, it could mean you're on a phone while there, but at least everything's being logged. It's probably better that way. Why? Because you can't be trusted. And it's probably better we watch over our taxpayer money a little bit closer, and then we have a little higher scrutiny for the people that can't be trusted with it. A little more oversight. It's the part, I mean, that's just the way it is anymore. It's sad. Here in St. Louis, that's what it's got to come to. All right, don't forget you can follow me on Twitter, at Ryan Recker. Also, if you miss any part of this show, download it on the podcast page at KMOX.com/overnight. Like yesterday, we had a full hour talking about Flat Earth. And the centerpiece of that Netflix Flat Earth documentary, Mark Sargent was on for that hour. It was an awesome conversation. If you missed it, go back and listen to it there. I don't believe in Flat Earth. People are asking me that. But I still like to hear the justifications of some people to come up with why the Earth is flat. Oh, it's great. Go check it out. KMOX.com/overnight.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.